This light will never burn out. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, you're ready to pull your hair out, you don't know quite what to do, I'll tell you what to do. Stop for a moment, collect your heart, slow down, calm down, and remember the words from the musical Les Miserables. That line, I love the quote on Thursdays from one of the songs. To love another person is to see the face of God. I mean, that's what we Christians are called to do. We're called to recognize Jesus in the poor, the sick, the homeless, the naked, the imprisoned, those who have no home. And this is what can really challenge our Christian vocation, we have to see Jesus in the people, get on our nerves, take us for granted, just drive us crazy. That's why it takes a lot of prayer. We have to steep ourselves in Scripture so that we can have the capacity to do that when we are being tested by this person who's really getting on our nerves. To love another person is to see the face of God. The Scripture I want to share with you today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 9, two verses, verses 4 and 5. Really, two very short sentences from chapter 9, but very important, very powerful sentences. Here's what Jesus says. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. That's verse 4. Here's verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay, now you can see why I said at the very beginning of the program, this light will never burn out. What light? The light of Christ. There's a movement, it's been around for a long time, it's called the Christopher Movement, and they have a slogan. And the slogan is, it's better to light one little candle than to curse the darkness. And candles, in the religious setting, in a Christian religious setting, always represents the presence of Christ, who is the light of the world. Candles, as a matter of fact, play a very important role in the life of a Christian, especially a Catholic Christian, from womb to tomb. And being a priest, I reflect on this often. I point out three times where it's very, very evident where the candle plays an important role in the development of a Christian, Catholic Christian. The first is at baptism. Okay? The baptismal ceremony in the Catholic Church is filled with incredible signs and symbols. There's the white garment, and the water, and the oil, and the blessing, and the touching of the child's ears and mouth, as Jesus allowed the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And then there's the candle. And what the celebrant, the priest, the deacon, at a baptism does, the church often supplies a candle, as well as a little white cloth, as a way of the whole parish family inviting the child into the church of Christ, into the parish family. And the candle is a thin. It's decorated very beautifully. And the priest, deacon, hands the candle to the father. Sometimes I hand it to the godfather so that I can keep the godmother and godmother very much involved in the baptismal ceremony. And I asked the Father or Godfather to go over to the Paschal candle. You know, the Paschal candle is that very, very large candle that is lit at the Easter Vigil and stays lit for 50 days all the way to Pentecost as a sign of the presence of the resurrected Christ, who's present in the church, who is the light of the world. And the Father and the Godfather goes over and lights the little candle off of the large candle. And then I have the Father and the Godfather both hold on to this little candle. And in the ceremony, the direction is for the priest or deacon to say, "Parents, godparents, receive the light of Christ. Keep this light burning brightly in the life of this child." Because we believe in infant baptism, so they have to really help this child through those early years until the child at confirmation can state on his or her own behalf, I do believe, they make that profession of faith in the Trinity using the different parts of the Apostles' Creed. But up until they can speak for themselves, it's important for parents and godparents to keep the light of Christ burning in their family, in their behavior, in their visits, in their parties, in their day-to-day domestic life. Now, the second time that a candle can be powerfully used at a turning point in a person's life is at a wedding. Now, this is not necessary. The candle is not necessary at the wedding. It's of relatively recent origin, the last 40, 50 years, that the candle started to be such a significant part. And if you've been at a wedding, a Catholic wedding, you know that there can be three candles or just one large candle. If there's three candles, often either the mothers of the groom and bride light the end candles, or they themselves, before they take their vows, light the end candles. And then after the vows and the rings are exchanged, they go over, and if there's three candles, they light the middle candle, sometimes snuffing out the two end candles to show that the two have become one. Or they leave the two end candles lit, saying that although we have become one, we come from unique family backgrounds, and we want to acknowledge that. If there's only one candle, one nuptial candle, often beautifully decorated, they go over and light that. And so what do we have again? Here we have the Christ who is the light of the world. And in the life of this man and woman, Jesus has to be the glue of their marriage, the unseen guest in their home, and if they're blessed with children, the tutor of their children. So that the light of Christ, "I am the light of the world," becomes very, very much a part of this transitional moment where two have become one. And the third time when the light is very, very important is at the funeral. If you've been to a Catholic funeral, you know that up in front of the sanctuary is the Paschal candle. And I told you earlier when I talked about baptismal candle, how the Paschal candle is lit on Holy Saturday, the new light, and how it stays lit for 50 days up until Pentecost. Well, every time there's a funeral in the Catholic Church, the Paschal candle is lit and is burning brightly. The coffin is brought up to the front of the church, covered with a white cloth, another connection with our baptism. And there, all during the funeral ceremony, that candle is lit. So what are we saying? In the life of a Catholic Christian, we have the candle first being presented at baptism. Then if there's marriage, candle plays an important role. And often in religious life, especially for religious women, they often carried a candle with them when they professed their vows. And then for all of us, when we die, there's that Paschal candle. There's the light of Christ. What is our vocation then, dear friends? Our vocation is to keep the light of Christ burning inside of us and to share that light with other people. Jesus often referred to those living in darkness. Scripture even says, in Prophet Isaiah, the people who have lived in darkness have seen a great light, prefiguring the coming of Jesus Christ, so that we allow ourselves to really let the light of Christ just be. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Jesus told us to do that. We're not supposed to hide our light under a bushel basket. We put on the lampstand with a shining light on the mountain so all can see and they can find their way to Jesus. We have to be the way to Jesus without getting in the way. And that is really our Christian vocation. And that's how we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged at the end of our life about our belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Messiah, the unique Son of God, divine, rose from the dead, save us from our sins. But also, we will be judged by the way we lived our life, whether we let our light shine, whether we were that transparent that people could see the light of Christ in us. Well, our prayer partners today are people with glaucoma. That's another, yesterday I talked about macular degeneration. Glaucoma can really, really affect people, and loss of eyesight is pretty scary. Would you pray for them, please? Our food for thought comes from a man named Jean Vanier. He writes, "Growth begins when we begin to accept our own weakness." Isn't that true? If we deny our weaknesses, we're going to get stuck, we're going to plateau, we're going to get into a rut, we're going to be, you know, really touchy when anybody points out a problem we have. Today's humor. During a class for confirmation, a teacher covered everything for the Catholic boys and girls from purgatory to matrimony. Well, at the confirmation ceremony, a bishop asked one of the confirmation candidates, "What is matrimony?" And the boy said, "Matrimony is where the poor souls go to suffer until they are admitted to heaven." I love jokes about marriage. Anyways, you want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why would you contact me? Well, you would let me know you listened to the program. That's just a shot in the arm when I know people are actually listening to my program. You can send me your prayer intentions, which I will faithfully take to prayer. I promise you, I'll be your prayer warrior. I'll pray with you and for you. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for the newsletter. It's filled with inspiration. There's always humor. It gives you my preaching schedule. It tells you a lot about my hospital, what's going on at the hospital, the Anacetar Hospital down in Oaxaca, Mexico, for the very poor and the very sick Mexican people. And by the way, you can send me a check to keep my hospital running. You know, I depend so much on the generosity of people, because we hardly charge the people anything because they're so poor. You can make the check out to TASH, Tash Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you use the internet, I encourage you to visit my website. Website, the address is Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.